Okay, today we're learning Nida Daf Kaf. We're going to start at the top, Amemar Umarzutra, second line. Amemar Umarzutra Veravashi Havuyatvu Kameh Omana. They were with the blood letter. That's a word for a blood letter, the Oman. Shakle Le Karna Kamai Tala Amemar. He takes out the first Karen's worth. It was probably some sort of implement that they used to get the blood out of the body. Chazye, so Amemar sees it, the blood coming out of his body, right? Think about when you take a blood test and you look at the blood. You know, some people like to look, some people don't. Amar lehu, adom ditnan ki hai. This is what Rav Soloveitchik would call the halachic man, right? That he looks at it, and what does he see? Instead of thinking about his blood and this, right? He thinks about, that's exactly what they were talking about. This is adom. Okay, so shachle le'achrite. Now the story gets more interesting. They now take more blood from him. Amar lehu ishtane. He says, oh, now look, the color's different. Amar Ravashi, kigon ana de lo yadana ben hai lahai lo mibaile lemichzadama. So Rav Ashi's sitting there and he says, those two look the exact same thing to me. I can't see the difference that you're talking about. And he says, if I can't figure out the difference between that red and that red, well, then I shouldn't paskin when it comes to blood. Now, we're going to start to see that there's a whole movement among a lot of the rabbis. They were hesitant to paskin on colors because they didn't really know the difference well. I was wondering about the fact that, you know, there's a higher percentage of men who are colorblind than women, and that this is a good reason why maybe women should be checking blood colors.
Although colorblind people notice the fine nuances between different shades much more than...
Interesting. So we had a funny situation in our family the other day where my father-in-law had bought the second time. My niece had asked for shoes for her daughter, and she kept saying pink, and he kept bringing orange. And then we brought out an abacus with all the color ranges, and he knew everything, but the difference between pink and orange, he couldn't identify. So I was thinking exactly this, right? That we all sat around the table, what do you mean? That's pink, that's orange, and it looked exactly the same. So anyway, the age of 90... 293 to realize that you're colorblind, never realizing it before. It's kind of funny. Okay, shachor kecheret. Shachor kecheret. So now we're getting to the black. The black is like cheret. What is cheret? Amar Rav Rapuna, cheret shamru dio. It's what they use to make the ink. Tanya nami hachi, shachor kecheret. Here's a brighter to support that. Black like cheret. V'shachor, so far that didn't say anything yet. V'shachor shamru dio. And the brighter continues to say, and that is dio. So then they say, very simply, Velema Dio, why would you pick a word that's not as familiar to people? Why don't you just say ink? So they say, Iamar Dio, have amina kipakuta didiuta. Maybe if when you put the Dio in a utensil, so in a bowl, let's say, or a jar, so the stuff that gets to the top is a little bit lighter, and the stuff that, right, supposedly, and inside it's more like the thick Dio, right? Think about it. When the Dio is thick, right, and once it's thinner, so it'll be lighter in color. So you might have thought if you said Dio, it could be even the top part, which is lighter. Kamash malanki charuta didyuta. Therefore, it means real, where it's very thick. That's what we're talking about. Ibayelihu, I keep thinking in my head of two things. I keep thinking of, when you go on the computer and you have all the shades and you can go lighter, darker, right? Or when you go to pick out paints. And you're within a color shade, and it's this, and then lighter, lighter, darker, darker. We're going to have, if you have that image in your mind, it makes this whole daf much simpler. And unfortunately, they didn't have those kind of things because it would have made it much easier for them to define. And then maybe more rabbis would have been willing to paskin about this. We're going to see the ramifications in a little while, not today, of the rabbis not paskining about dom colors, okay? And feeling like we don't know enough information, we don't know how to do it, and it leads to all sorts of things that develop over time. Ibayelihu, balacha ubiyavashta. Are we talking about dry or liquid? When it's liquidy or when it's dried out? Tashma, let's learn from here. Derabbi Ami, pale korta didyuta. He would break it up into pieces. Ubadikba. He would take the dry ink, he would break it up into pieces and keep those pieces with him to be able to check.
Color samples.
Exactly, color samples.
That's
exactly. That's why I said, keep that in your mind. It becomes very obvious what's going on here. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Here they're going to bring different things. Kikir, which is a type of black wax. Kidyo, like ink. Anav, a black grape. Tmea, if it looks like that, right, you can see they're just trying to give examples. It's Tmea. V'zoi Shashaninu Amok Mikain Tmea. And that's where it says there, if it's any deeper than black, it's Tamei. These are all deeper than the black. Or they are the same or deeper.
And the Cheret.
Then the Cheret. Amar Rabbi Elazar, kezayit, kezefet, ukeorev, tahor. If it looks like black olive or tar or a black raven, That's already tahor. V'zo shashaninu dihemi ken tahor. If it's lighter, it's going to be tahor. Ula amar, here we get interesting, kilavusha siva'a, like the levush, like the clothes that the siva'im people wear, it seems to be the name of a place, they all dressed in black, so it's like them. Ula itla pupadita, Ula comes to pupadita, chazila hutai, here comes a really, I would say, kind of difficult story to swallow, it comes an Arab merchant coming by, to levush levusha uchama, he's wearing black clothes. Amar lahu, so again, what does Ula say? Shachur ditnan kihai, ah, that's the black. That's the black we were talking about. Here comes the sad part of the story. Marchumine porta porta. Basically, the rabbis slowly, all the people with Ula, slowly everyone wants a sample of it. So everyone takes off a bit of his clothes till he's left without clothes. Okay? Yalvube arba mea zuze. They gave him 400 zuz to compensate him for the fact that they took his clothes. This sounds almost like the Para Aduma and how much money they gave to Dama ben Netina, you know, and the whole story there. These are, first of all, exaggerated stories, whether it actually happened, you know, or whether they actually gave him that amount of money, but it's a way of saying, at least that they understood how important this was and how much they valued it, that they were willing to give so much money for it, and also they compensated him for the fact that they took off all his clothes. I mean, I don't know if they took off everything, you know, left him naked, but they took off maybe his outer garment. Rabbi Yochanan amach, Elu kelim ha'ul yarin haba'im imidina hayam. Rashi gives two interpretations for ul yarin. Either it's the balanim, the guys who work in the bathhouses, or it's a name of a place. It a little bit sounds better, the name of a place, because it's the clothes, if you say it's the balanim, the people working in the bathhouse, that come from abroad, maybe bathhouse workers abroad wear different clothes, maybe. Okay, so it's, again, another example, right? They keep trying to find examples in their daily life. I mean, here, I don't know how common it was that the people came from this faraway place, but anyway, now they have a question. The ul yarin, they come from Medina Hayam, they wear black clothes. Now we're getting on a totally different topic. It's just going to come back to the clothes of the Ol Yarin. When you bury me, don't bury me in white clothes and don't bury me in black clothing. Why? Right? There's an assumption in heaven, everybody's wearing white. In hell, everybody's wearing black. So if I'm wearing black and I end up in heaven, and I end up with all those people, I'll be like an avel wearing black between all, you know, amongst all the chatanim. It's which interesting. People funny. Always say that black is exactly. Jewish. People say black is not Jewish. Here you see, black is a color of avelut, is kind of a Jewish concept. Livanim shema lo eskevi yekechatan ben avelim. Right? If I'm not zochet, I like this whole vision of the chatan and the avel. Right? Those are they're always considered two opposites. There's, you know, Sheva Brachot, and they used to have Sheva Brachot Avelim. If you remember, a long time ago in Ketubot, we learned in the whole comparison between Avelim, 30 days, a year, there's a lot of comparisons, like two sides of a coin. So if I wear white, I might end up in Gehenom, and I'll really stick out like a sore thumb. It's interesting, if he's worried about sticking out like a sore thumb, we'll see what they say in the end. It seems a little weird. Ela b'kelin ha'ol yarin ha'ba'im mimitinat hayam. That's what you should dress me in, which the Mefarshim explained, is red. You know, you think red stands out no matter what. But I think the assumption is if you take a color chart, that's the way they viewed it, right? Black, white, and red is in the middle, okay? Even though, I mean, one could sort of view it that way, right? They always say black is not a color, neither is white. But anyway, not getting into that. But basically, they used to wear red, so, you know, dress me in red like them. So what do you see here? Am alavu chameninu. Now, there's also, it's a way he viewed himself. Half zakai, half chayav. Right, there's sources that talk about that. You should always view yourself that way so that you know that any act you do is going to tilt the balance. So therefore you see they're not black. They must have worn red, or if you say it's some other color, but certainly not black. So what do they answer? Lo kashya habiglima habiptora. There's two different types of kelim they have. One is their clothes, and one is things that they put on their tables that, you know, not sewn, not just a piece of cloth. Those cloths were black, but when they wore clothing, they wore red. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, v'kulan ein bodkin ela al gabei matlit levana. Okay, according to Shmuel, you have to check with a white cloth. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi v'shachor al gabei adom. When you're checking black, though, you have to check it on a red cloth so that you can see the difference. Amar Rav Yirmiyah Midifti v'lo pligi. Okay, now they say, these two, in fact, don't disagree. Shmuel said, "Kulam emot kenel amatli levana," and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi is just adding to it. Habashachor, habashar damim. In other words, when he said on white, he meant everything else, but not shachor. And Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi was saying about the shachor, so they really don't disagree. That's one way of reading it. Matkif la Ravashi. Ravashi questions, though, and says, Ihachi le mashmuel chutz mi shachor. He should have said then, check on a white cloth other than shachor. Ela amar Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi says, no, v'shachor gufei kamifluge. Really, the machloket is about the black. Amar Ula, okay, here's a, so and then, right, Rav Yitzhak Bar Avdimi would say, shachor al gabei adom, and Shmuel would say, shachor al gabei lavan. Amar Ula, kulan amok miken tamei, diha miken tahor. Now we're going to talk about other things. We mentioned by the black, if you noticed in the Mishnah, it gave you all the colors, and then it said, and when it comes to black, it's kecheret, darker is tameh, lighter is tahor. So now the question is, does that principle apply to all the other colors also? So we're going to have a difference of a debate about this. Amar ula, kulan, all of them, amok miken tameh, diha miken tahor. This is why I said if you think about either on the computer or you think about on the color charts for paints, so, right, you know, there's the color right in the middle, right? And if you go darker from that shade or lighter from that shade. Kishachor. Just like shachor, it's the same for all of them. So then, obvious question is, Elamayshna shachor dinakat. So why did it say shachor specifically in the Mishnah? Salkadat hachamina, Amar Rabbi Chanina, shachor adom hu ela shelaka, hilka chafilu dihamika nami litame kama shmalan. Dafka by shachor, it's a chiddush that you would do it. Why? If shachor is just red that went bad, then you might think it doesn't matter what shade of shachor, since it was originally red and it went bad, so it doesn't matter what shade it is right now. Therefore, it comes to teach you, even shachor, if it gets lighter, it's not tameh. Rabbi Ami bar Abba Amar, v'kulan amok miken tameh, diha miken nami tameh. So now Rabbi Ami says, bar Abba, he says, wait, all of them, dafka, everything on that shade, right, go back to that color chart, the entire strip is going to be, in other words, take that color and make it lighter, make it darker, everything is tameh. We're going to have the whole gamut here, okay? We had, right, just by shachor we go, by, you know, darker and not lighter, all the others, it's just the color, right? Or they're all the same, right? What do we see so far? So we saw shachor guf, right, just shachor they're arguing about. No, that's the other thing. Okay, so sorry, let's just review. Ula says, all of them, it's the same as shachor, okay? And so far, that's all we've seen. So Rabbi Ami says, all of them, right? Everything other than shachor, the entire gamut is tameh. Chutz mi shachor, elamaya hani shiurei derabanan. So if it's the whole range, then why did the rabbis give a specific, or why did they say, like the saffron, like the this, right? Why did they say that if it's the whole range of colors? La fuke diha de diha. It's to get rid of, let's say, the very last one that's so pale, that's already way too pale. In other words, what it means is like this. Go one shade darker, one shade lighter, but not, or maybe even more shades darker, but as light, if you get two shades lighter, that's already tahor, that's fine. V'ika d'amri, here's another opinion, Rami bar Abba amar, v'kulan amok miken tahor, diha miken tahor. It's just that in all the others, and not any of the colors around it. All the other colors around it, shades of it, are fine. Chutz mi shachor, other than shachor, ulahachi mahani shiurei derabanan. And that's specifically why the rabbis said, right, just those colors. Bar kapa amar, v'kulan amok miken tamei, diha miken tahor. He says, like we said before, that they're all like shachor, okay, except chutz mi mezek. There's only one that's different, which is the wine, that's diluted, sha'amok miken tahor, diha miken tahor, that it's only that shade that's a problem. So that's what Bar Kapara says. Well, the students didn't exactly trust him so much, or they wanted to test him. So it says, Bar Kapara adihule uvidache. So what did they do? The students came and they made adihule, they made it lighter, and they took the shade, and they made it a little bit duller. They wanted to see, will he notice? Vidache. And he said, oh yeah, that's tahor. Amikule, they made it darker. Vidache. And he also said it's tahor. Ma Rabbi Chanina, kama nafish gavra delibe kishmate. Wow, how amazing is him? Remember this phrase, because we're going to get back to it, that his lev is like his shmuot, meaning lev they often associated with chokhmah, that he's as smart as he says he is, basically, and as he's consistent with what he says, and not just consistent, though, he really understands it enough to paskin. Did you want to say something?
No.
Okay, Karen Karkom. Okay, now we're going to talk about the saffron plant. Tana lach velo yavesh, it has to be moist and not dried out. Tanechada. Now we're going to have four different braitot that seem to contradict, and then we're going to explain that they're not contradictory at all. Ketachton velo ke'elyon. It's like the lower leaf and not the upper one. V'tanya idach ke'elyon velo ketachton. How these are all going to work out, it'll be interesting. Okay, like the upper and not the lower. V'tanya idach ke'elyon v'koshaken ketachton. Like the upper and all the more so like the lower. V'tanya idach ketachton v'koshaken ke'elyon. The bottom one and all the more so, the upper one. Amar Abaye, creative answer. Tilta dare v'tilte tarfan havyan. There's three levels of branches. It's like the hadas, where the hadas has three coming out of each point, at each point, and then right there's a row above it with three leaves, and there's a row above it with three leaves. So it's a little bit like that, except it works like this. There's three leaves, okay, and there's a set of three leaves at the bottom, okay, one on top of the other. Then there's a set of three leaves above that, one on top of the other, and then there's a set of three leaves above that, one on top of the other. Now the most central leaf is the one that's the darkest, the deepest red, and that's the color we want to get to. So now, how do we explain this? The Gemara doesn't go into detail, but the way we explain it is like this. When you say, okay, let's go through the order. Kitachton velo ke'elyon, you're looking at the top two. So it's like the bottom, it's meaning it's the middle section other than not the top section. It's all your perspective. Ke'elyon velo ke'tachton, you're talking about comparing the bottom two. So then you say it's like the upper one, which is really the middle. Right? Either which way, we're going to always get to the middle. The second set of braitot, which say ke'elyon v'koshaken ke'tachton, they're referring to just the middle section. And what they're saying is, so now the middle section has three. So one's going to be talking about the bottom two, and one's going to be talking about the upper two. So ke'elyon v'koshaken ke'tachton means, right, that it's when you look at the top two, like the top one and all the more so the bottom one, because the bottom one is really the middle of the middle, which is exactly what we want. And obviously the reverse with the next case. I don't need to spell it all out. Okay, so that's Abaye's explanation of all these seemingly contradictory braitot. Right, so he says, Nikod dara mitzia, right, we really mean the middle level, v'tarfa mitziata biyada, right, and that's going to always be what we're looking at, the middle one. Ki atu l'kameid rabbi avau amar lehu bigushayu shaninu. We're talking about when they're attached to the ground still. Okay, and that's when they have their color. Obviously, colors change once you take something out. It starts to fade. Okay, ukime me'adama. Now we're getting to the dirt mixed with the soil, mixed with water. Tanu rabbanan. We're going to have two different braitot about it. Kime me'adama. Mevi adama shmeina mibik'at beit kerem. Umatzif alayamayim divrei rabbi meir. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. They take it from bik'at beit hakerem. And they put water with the waters floating. Rabbi Akiva omer mi bikat yotfat. Rabbi Yossi omer mi bikat sachnai. That's by the sachne. Rabbi Shimon omer af mi bikat ginosar. Right, we know all these places. Right, these are all in the Lower Galilee. It's interesting. It's that whole area, which makes sense because we know that by regions, right, the dirt, the soil is the same color in the same region. Yeah, I don't think they're necessarily contradicting each other. They're just each one maybe bringing from. I didn't check where everybody lives, but right, examples from their reality. Tanya idach, another, right, anything like it. Tanya idach, uchimeme adama, another braita. Mevi adama shmenami begat bet kerem, umatzif alea mayim. Now here we're going to talk about how much water. Kikli patashum, like the thickness of the peel of a garlic. And it's just a little bit of water floating on top. Ve'ein shiur lamayim, mishum de'ein shiur lafar. We can't tell you exactly how much water because we can tell you exactly how much adama to put in. Okay, they could have given a ratio like they do with the mazuk. I don't know why they didn't do that. Ve'ein bot kinotan slulin. It's not if the water is clear. Like let's say what happens when you mix water with dirt. Sometimes the dirt settles at the bottom. It has to be ela achurin. Salalu chozer v'ochran. And if they turn clear, then you have to mix them up again to see the color. Ukeshu ochran. And here's a weird halacha. Ein ochran biyad. He can't do it with his hand. Okay, not sure why. Now the Gemara, ela bekli. It has to be done with a utensil. Maybe they're worried that your hand will affect the color. Maybe there's dirt in your hand, it'll get mixed up. So now they want to understand better, what does this mean you can't use your hand? You can't use your hand for what? Ibayelu. Ein ochran otam biyad ela bekli, delalir miye biyade ulachrinu, aval bemana ki achar le biyade shapir dame. Do we mean that you can't do it in your hand? You can't mix the dirt and the water in your hand. We know that if you look at something sitting on your hand, you look at something in a kli, it might affect, right? Everything affects what the color looks like. And therefore, but if it's in a kli, you can actually mix it with your hand. That's not what we're talking about. Odilma, or does it mean to lo al achrinu biyade ela bimana? Oh, sorry. I think I said it wrong. What? You can't do it with your hand. Oh, sorry. Right. You can't mix it with your hand. You have to use a kli. In other words, you can't mix it using your hand. while the mixture is in your hand, you have to use a kli, a utensil like a spoon, to mix it. So they want to know which one. Tashma, let's learn from here. Kishuhu botkan, ein botkan ela bekos. So what do you see? You have to use a cup. If you have to use a cup, well, it seems to imply that it has to be mixed in a cup. But then they say, v'adayin tibayelach b'dika bekos achia b'may. It still doesn't explain the question, which is, okay, so you have to use a kli, we understand, but maybe it also means you can't mix it with your hand. We don't know the answer. They say teku. We don't really know if that's the case. When we're talking about mixing this mixture of the adama with the water to figure out what's the color of blood that's going to be tameh, we say you have to look in its native location. Like if you take it from Yotfat, then you have to look in Yotfat. If you take it somewhere else, it'll look different. That's one possible answer. Questionable whether that's really the case. Maybe also once you move it, I think the idea might be that time goes by and, you know, it affects the color of it. It's possible. Another option is to say bimkomash aninu, that we already just described that you're putting it in this kli. It has to be looked at in the kli. You can't take it out of the kli then and look at it, you know, let's say put it back in your hand or something. Rabbi Chanina pale korte de gargashta ubadik bay. He would take, okay, we're going to see about Rabbi Chanina now. Remember that it's Rabbi Chanina. He would take chunks of the soil and use it as his test, as a sample, to check the colors of the blood. Now notice, what did we say? You have to mix it with water. He didn't mix it with water. He just used these dried pieces
of... And he didn't view it in its local...
Right, and right. It certainly wasn't right where it was taken. Ubadikbei. And he would... Badikbei. And he would check badikas with this. Layat alei Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi ba'askara. Now, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi was known to curse anyone who did the following thing that Rabbi Chanina did. He would say, you're going to get sick with diphtheria. Rabbi Chanina, hu dechakim, kule alma lo chakim. Okay, he distinguished between Rabbi Chanina and everybody else. Okay, that's why I remember Rabbi Chanina. So he is unique in this area. He was known to be the expert in this area. And therefore, he, even by just having the color, the piece of dirt next to him, that was enough for him to know was it the right color. Here come all the different rabbis now that are going to start hemming and hawing about not necessarily wanting to check bedikas, or check colors, basically. I'm calling them bedikas in our language, but really check colors. They didn't want to be involved so much. We'll see why. So if you remember, Rabbi Chanina was the expert. Now, sometimes it's good to have an expert, but sometimes it causes other people to say, well, he's the expert. I'm not going to be able to do it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chachmata de Rabbi Chanina, because he was so smart and he knew it really well, Garmali de lo achzei dama. Now this is Rabbi Yochanan, okay? Big Tami Chacham, he says, I'm not going to check damim. Why? Mitamida mitaher mitaharna mitameh. What I think is tameh, he says is tahor. And what I think is tahor, he thinks is tameh. And since he's such a great rabbi, I'm going to defer to him and I'm not going to paskin about this. Different reaction to Rabbi Chanina comes from Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Elazar, right? These were all Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. Am betanuta de Rabbi Chanina garmali de chaze dama. Because he's such a humble person and he still goes and checks this blood, that's going to cause me, dafka, to go checking. Umar Rabbi Chanina, this is what he says, his theory. Da an betanu, he's such a humble person. And yet, machi nafshe lesafek v'chaze, and yet he puts himself in a situation where maybe he'll make a mistake. Right, and he does it anyway. Ana lo achse. Who am I to say that I'm not going to do it? Now, that's a fascinating approach. He says, right. We all know that it takes a lot of guts for a rabbi to get up and say something, or for any leader to kind of be willing to get up there. Right. If you're very arrogant, so it's easy. You're willing to say anything you want. But if you're humble, it's harder for you to get up and say, "Oh, I know something." And it's much harder to say that. And he said, because Rabbi Chanina is such a humble person, and yet he paskins about this, so what? Who am I to say I'm not going to paskin about it? So he had the opposite approach of Rabbi Yochanan. But there's a whole bunch of others that kind of go with the Rabbi Yochanan approach for various reasons. Amar Rabbi Zera, Tiva de Bavel Garmali de Lo Chazedama. The knowledge of science of Bavel caused me... That, in other words, what does it mean, Tiva de Bavel? Okay, so there's different ways of interpreting it. I'll go with one. The rabbis in Bavel knew a lot of science. Rabbi Zera came from Eretz Yisrael, and he goes to Bavel, and he says they know a lot about science and nature.
Comes from Bavel and goes to Eretz Yisrael.
Rabbi Zeira, is that what he did? Yeah, I'm confused. Oh, okay.
He had the thought here is that he's telling the people in Eretz Yisrael about
the scholarship. Okay, fine. Thanks for correcting me. So he was going to Eretz Yisrael, and he says, because I was in Bavel and I didn't know anything about science, and they all really knew a lot, so because of that, I wasn't checking blood. Damina b'tiva lo yadana, b'dama yadana. Vidama Yadana, he said, I don't understand anything about nature. I'm going to understand something about nature, about blood. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to ask, what's the connection between these two things? Lameimra de Bativa Talia Milta, what, does it have to do with science? Does it have to do with understanding nature? Baha Rabba, who di Yada Bativa, Velo Yada Vidama. Let's take Rabba, he's a good example. He knew about nature and about science, and he didn't know anything, he didn't know a lot about the Damim. So what did it say? Kol shekein kamra. That was exactly what Rabbi Zeira was saying. Uma Rabba di yada b'tiva lo chazei dama. If Rabba, who knew all about science and nature and yet didn't paskin on dam issues, ana achse, you think I'm going to? Right? I don't even know. Right? I know a lot less than him. For sure, I'm not going to do it. It's interesting about this whole science thing. Ula ikla lepupadita. Okay, now we have a story. Ula, okay, he's from the opposite direction. He comes from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, and he gets to Pupadita. Aitu lekamei dama, so now, right, this rabbi comes to town, you figure out, big rabbi, someone asks him a question about the color of the blood, v'lo chaza, and he says, I don't touch that. Amar, umar, Rabbi Elazar, demara de Eretz Yisrael hava, I'm going to take example from Rabbi Elazar, remember Rabbi Elazar? So it's interesting, he said he does paskin on damim, if you remember, he was the one who said, I was so awed by Rabbi Hanina's humility, that I paskin, but yet when he, okay, so he was the Mara of Eretz Yisrael, the leader in Eretz Yisrael, and kimikla la'atra to Rabbi Yehuda, when he got to the place of Rabbi Yehuda, which was Pumbedita, where I am right now, when he came to Pumbedita, lo chazei dama, he wouldn't paskin, and why wouldn't he paskin? Because he's in the territory of Rabbi Yehuda, right? Imagine you're the new rabbi that comes to town, someone asks you a question, you say, oh, no, I'm in Rabbi Yehuda's town, right? I don't want to make trouble, I don't want to get in trouble for paskining anything that might be against Rabbi Yehuda, go show Rabbi Yehuda. So if he wouldn't do it, and he's such a gadol, ana achse, you think I'm going to answer you? No way. V'amai kari lumara da'aret Yisrael. Now we're going to zoom in on this part that he was called the Mara of Eretz Yisrael. How do we know that? Why did they call him that? Tahu itata da'aite dame lekame de Rabbi Elazar. There was a woman who brought her blood to Rabbi Elazar. Havayativ Rabbi Ama kame, and Rabbi Ami was sitting next to him. Arche. So what did he see Rabbi Elazar do? He smelled the blood. Sounds a little unpleasant. Amar la, hai dam chimudhu. And he was able to identify what type of dam this was. He said, this is dam of a woman who really wants to be together with her husband. Okay, that's called dam chimud. There's a debate here about whether he means, and it's mutar, because it's not dam nida, it's something else. There's a problem with saying that, which is, I don't know if you know this, but the week before a person's wedding, you're supposed to have your Shevinikim, let's say your period's 2 weeks before your wedding, you don't do your Shevinikim right after your period, you do them up leading up to the wedding. Why is that? Because there's a source that says, Tavua li nasei, when they kind of ask the woman to marry, we're worried she's going to have dam chimud. We're worried that what? We talked about this about stress. Last time we talked that stress is misalek damim, it causes people not to bleed. But sometimes stress can cause people to bleed, and her excitement about the wedding might cause her to get her period early, and therefore there's concern for dam chimud, and therefore the shevinikim we move to right up leading up to the wedding. So it's interesting because here it seems to indicate this is dam chimud and it's not dam nida and it's okay. Others say, so some people say those are two different types of dam chimud. One is before a wedding, and one is a woman with her husband once they're already married, and that's two different things. Some people say, no, it's the same thing, and he said, this is dam chimud, and it's a problem. Okay, so there's a bit of a debate about this dam chimud. Anyway, moving on. So he identified exactly what it was, but is it really true? Like, she didn't say right then and there, oh, you're right. So what happened? Rabbi Ami, we see a few situations like this in today's stuff where someone's trying to test somebody else. But Tar Dinafka, after she walks out, Itafale Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami follows her. Amar Le, and he asks her basically, right? He says, so what's the story? You know, was it really Tam Chimud? So Amar Le, she says to him, Ba'aliya Yabaderech Bechima Detivya, my husband was away, and I really was having desire for him, and that's what caused my bleeding. So Kare Ale, so then he said about Rabbi Elazar, Son Hashem Lirea, right? The secrets of God are given to you. You obviously know what you're talking about, right? And God's somehow helping you to paskin. Another story, Ifra Hormiz, Ima de Shavur Malka, if you remember, we've learned about these people. Shavur Malka was the Persian king who was a friend to the Jews. Ifra Hormiz was his mother who wanted to convert to Judaism. So because she wanted to convert, right, like nowadays people prepare for conversion, they keep halachot, so shadra dami lekame de Rava. So she brings blood in front of Rava. Havayatev Rav Ovadia kame. Rav Ovadia was with him, right, same kind of story. Arche, so what does Rava do? This instead of Rabbi Elazar, now we're talking about Rava. Rava sniffs the blood. Amar la, hai dam chimuru. You can see that this is probably two versions of the same story, one told about Rabbi Elazar and one told about Rava. Right? Whether it happened in both these cases, whether right, it's just a way of them praising these rabbis about how much they knew. So what does he say? Amar la, hai dam chimuru. Okay, so now instead of someone snooping around, she just says it straight out. Amrele, libere, she says to her son, Shavarmalka, ta chaze kama chakima yudai. She says, wow, look how smart the Jews are. He, right? It's almost like fortune telling, right? Or the, you know, or telling about your past. Like someone comes to you and you say, oh, I know that this was happening to you. Amrele, dilma kasuma ba'aruba. Maybe it was just luck, he says to her. Maybe it was like a blind person getting down a chimney. How does a blind person get around to get down a chimney, right? It's kind of luck that he finds the chimney. He can't really see, but it's like that. So what does she decide to do? So now she decides to test him. Hadar shadra le shitim mine dama. She sends him 60 different types of blood. Vikulu amrinhu. And he said all of them. Okay, he identified, this is blood of this is blood of that. And they weren't all necessarily blood of Nida, we'll see. Okay, they could have been blood from other things. And he identified each type except for one. Batra dam kinim ha, but the last one was blood of Balaus, velo yada, and he didn't know. However, and here we see the hand of God, istaya milta, he was helped by God somehow. Vishadur le srikuta de mikatla kalme. He sent as a gift back, she sent him all these 60 damim, and he sent it back with a gift. Okay, for those who check bodikas, maybe this is like a good thing, you know, send gifts back to the people who send you. So he sent this, what did he send her? Interesting gift. He sent her a comb that kills lice. Okay, I'm going to find one of those. I know ones that find lice, but I didn't know there were ones that actually kill lice. Amra, so now what happened? That was just Bimikre he sent it. But since he didn't know, she assumed that he was hinting to her that it was lice, and therefore Amra Yehudai. Bitavne deliba yetvitu. Okay, the Jews are living in the room with
the
chambers of the heart. Okay, basically, it's another way of saying, if you remember at the bottom of the previous Amud, we saw about the heart, that the heart, right, they obviously know everything.
Even though that one was actually Kasuma Baruba.
Right, exactly, yeah, yafes. So it's a good play. It was right in the end, it was a Suma Baruba. It was just luck that he figured that one out, as Shavarmalka had suspected, but yet. She didn't really catch that.
They're obviously talking about different lice than what we have today. Because the lice today don't have blood.
They do, actually.
They do, but
yeah. It's very little. Oh, they're for sure talking about different lice. That's 100% right. The amount of blood would be teeny.
Given the frequency with which they mention lice,
it was very rampant, right. And being that the lice were much larger, it seems, right. It was, okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Beresha hava chazina dame. Okay, I used to check blood. This is an interesting one, okay. Since the mother of my son Yitzchak, which basically means his wife, but they must have been divorced, okay, and they weren't married anymore. But I had heard from her. Why is this so interesting? Because he's getting information from his wife about how things work. It might have happened. We just don't know about it. And it's, as much as the rabbis might have known, it could be the women also didn't know all the anatomy and everything and how it all worked. Anyway, she told me the following. She used to tell him that she wouldn't send her first drop of blood, like the beginning of her bleeding, she wouldn't send because that's like the most disgusting. She didn't want to send that. So she would never send that. Once I heard that that was the case, lo chazinan. Therefore, I wouldn't check blood anymore because let's say a woman comes to me and gives me blood, and this blood looks fine, but if I know she's not, you know, if she's anything like my ex-wife, well, she's not going to be showing me the beginning of the blood, and that blood might actually be problematic. So if I say she's Tohoa, she might not really be. So I stopped checking for blood. The only thing I would check is Bein Tmei'a L'Tohora V'Adai Chazina. But if they want me to check on the between the Dam Tahor and the Dam Tohar of Leida, like when the Dam Tohar begins and the Dam Tuma ends, that I would check. Or even to check if it's still blood coming out at the end there, that I would check. Or maybe from Dam Tahora to Dam Tmei'a at the end, that I would check because there's no issue of she's not giving me the beginning of it because the beginning is irrelevant. Now we're going to hear stories about Yalta. Okay, she was the wife of Rav Nachman. She's very famous. She comes up in a lot of stories. Aite dama lekame de Rabba Bar Barchana. Okay, she brought down before Rabba Bar Barchana vitamele, and he said it's tame. Hadra aite lekame de Rav Yitzchak Berei de Rav Yehuda. That wasn't good enough for her. She wanted to get an answer of yes. Vidachele, and he says it's tahor. Okay, so now instead of asking why did she do this, they ask how did Rav Yitzchak Berei de Rav Yehuda paskin against Rabba Bar Barchana? The assumption is he knew that Rabba Bar Barchana was mitame. So hechi avid hachi, how could he do that? Behatanya, doesn't it say in a braita, chacham shetime ein chavero rashai l'taher. Asav ein chavero rashai l'hatir. Right? Once someone paskins for you, you can't paskin, a rabbi can't come and paskin against that person. So what do they answer? Meikara timuya hava mitamele. Really, he thought also to be mitame her when she came before him and explained the situation. But then she explained to him even more. Vekevan de amrele de kol yom ahava medachele. But then she said to me the following. She said, in other words, there was more to it than what you see. She came to the second rabbi and said, you know, what's the situation? And he said, Tameh, even though it says he said Tahor. Then she said, but I've shown this exact same color to Rabbi Bar Barchana before, and he said it's okay. And now he's just losing his vision. He can't see so well anymore. So, dachele. On the basis of that, he was metaher. So it wasn't like he was really going against it. It was just that Rabbi Bar Barchana could no longer see so well. Umi mehemne? Now they ask a really fascinating question. We're going based on her testimony, right? Generally, we don't accept women as edim, and here she's no gabadavar, like it's about her own stuff. We can believe her? So the Gemara says, yeah, and in fact, you can believe her. How do we know? Vahatanya, it says in the following bright, ne'emenet isha lomar kazera iti v'ibadativ. She could say, like she comes to ask a question, but she checked and she no longer has the bedika cloth. So she says to the rabbi, listen, I saw, you know, he shows her some samples and she says, oh yeah, it was just like that. And we believe her and he can paska based on that. So what do you see? We can believe her. So we buy lihu. So now they asked, kazeti her ish ploni chacham mahu. What if a woman says, so-and-so, you know, gave me a psak that this was okay. What's the story? Tashma, and then can we believe her? This is as if we didn't just learn the previous sugya. Tashma, let's learn it from here. Ne'emenet isha lomar kazera itiv ibadativ. So they say, ah, that's exactly what we just said. A woman could come and say, I saw like this. So of course she could come and say, a different rabbi was matar. You have to wonder why she's showing the rabbi if she already knows what the answer is. But anyway, what do they answer? No. You can't compare those two cases. They're different. Shanei hatam de leita lekama. In other words, the first case where she loses it, so she doesn't have anything to show. So we believe her. But in a case where she has the cloth in front of her, we can't necessarily believe her when she says, so-and-so is matire, we should check it out ourselves. So tashma de yalta aite dama. Oh, why don't we learn it from here? And that's, right now, they didn't say that that's definitely. They're just saying you can't necessarily learn it from here. So now they say, well, let's try the Yalta case. De yalta aite dama lekame de Rabba Bar Barchana v'tamela lekame de Rabbi Yitzchak Berei de Rabbi Yehuda v'dachela behechi avid hachi. So again, we're going to bring our case, right? How could she have done that? V'atanya chacham shetimei en chaver roshay l'ter v'chule v'amrinan. They're just basically quoting the previous sugya. And what do they answer? Timu Yehu de metamele. Right, Keva, he really wanted to be mitame her, but Keva de Amrele de Kol Yoma Medachele Ki Agavna Vayinu de Chash Beene Hader Dachela. So, what do you learn from here? Alma Mehemna La. What do you see here? We obviously trust her because you trusted her to say yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before, right, or previous times, Rabba Bar Barchana was Matarli this color. So now you see it's pretty clear. You can say that he was Matar that color. So what do they answer? No, you can't learn it from that story, because you could say that Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, Agimare Samach, he was relying on his own, he saw it right in front of him, and he was relying on his own knowledge. And that, why do you want to be Matame in the first place? Because he heard the Rabba Bar Barchana was Matame, so he wasn't going to be Matahir. But really, in his own eye, it looked like it was correct. This is interesting, by the way, in terms of saying, well, what it's not all about truth, because what the truth was, he really thought it was tahor. But since someone else had paskened it was tameh, he couldn't paskin what he thought saw as truth. He had to stick, right, there's what we call in Hebrew nigud interesim, right? There's two things pulling at him. On the one hand, he wants to paskin based on what he believes. On the other hand, he can't say something that's against what we saw. Rebbe ra'a dam balayla v'timeh. Okay, there was another case where Rebbe saw dam at night, and he said, ah, oh, this looks tameh. Ra'a bayom v'tiher. He now sees the same blood in the morning, and he says it's okay. Himtin sha'achat, and then he waited one more hour, chazar v'timeh. And then he said, oh no, it's tameh. Amar, oili shema ta'iti. And then he says, oh no, maybe I made a mistake when I said at the end that it was tameh. So the Gemara says, shema ta'iti vadaita. What do you mean, shema? Clearly he was to'eh. D'tanya, lo yomar chacham, ilu haya lach, haya vadai tameh, ela amar lo, and here's a great line, ein lo ladayan, ela mashein avro'ot. What does that mean, right? In other words, why did he say it was tameh in the end? Because he thought, oh, maybe when I saw it now, when I saw it in the morning, it looked tahor, but maybe the night before, it really was tameh. So what do we say? But you can't do that because you can only do what your eyes see. You can't try to imagine what did it look like last night. What was the problem at night? At night, he couldn't see so well. So you can only say, right? It's a great line in general. The dayan can only paskin based on what his eyes see. So now they say, okay, so meikara, so it should be he for sure made a mistake because he wasn't supposed to paskin based on what he imagined might be. So now they say, meikara achazke betame. He thought originally it was tame at night when he saw it. Kevan dechaze letzafra deishane. When he saw it changed in the morning, amar vadai tahor hava ubalai lehutalo etchaze shapir. Must be that it was really tahor last night and I just didn't see it well when I thought it was problematic. Kevan dechaza dehader ishane. But then when he saw that it changed again an hour later, amar hai tamehu umifakhu dekamif pakech. In other words, it must be it really was tameh, and it just changed color over time. In other words, really, he thought it was tameh the night before. When he saw it differently in the morning, what happened? It slowly got lighter, and then it got even lighter an hour later. He realized it probably was darker last night. When I thought it was tameh, it probably really was tameh.
The sky,
and that's why
he
said it was tameh. What?
It the sky, not it the blood.
The blood. The sky? No, the blood. The blood was tameh. In other words, he couldn't see. He saw the batika cloth at night. But the light wasn't so good, so he thought it was problematic. But now, as the day went on, in the morning, it was already lighter. He said, oh, I must have made a mistake last night. Then when he saw it got even lighter, an hour later, he realized it's the blood. The blood getting lighter.
You're talking about into the day.
The color changing. The color changing. He sees the color changing. He realizes the color must have changed from the night before, and it must have been tameh. Va'azio, Rebbe, Badik Le'or Haner. Okay, he would generally check. Now we're going to talk about when you're... how you're supposed to check. He would use candlelight. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Badik biyom ha-me'unan, b'nei amudei. He would check on a cloudy day in between the amudim, meaning even though, here they say it was the amudim of the Beit Midrash, even though it was dark, he would still check there. Amar Rabbi Amri bar Shmuel, v'kulan ein bodkinotan ela ben chama letzel. Okay, he says you have to check it between the sun, and you have to check with the sunlight, but like shade it a little bit. Rav Nachman Amar Rav Ravua bechama or betzel. Oh, right. Sorry, between the chama and the tzel. Right. How do we define being chama and the tzel?
Between the sun and the shadow.
Between the sun and the shadows. And then Rav Ravua says bechama ubetzel yado. It's not between the sun and the shadows. It's in the sunlight, but you shade it with your hand so that the sun doesn't blind your ability to see it. Okay.